Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It is a blessing to be here with you. I'm Apostle Dr. Ernest Maddox of the Point of Light Christian Center and Dr. Ernest Maddox Ministries. I just want to welcome you around the world to this broadcast, the Dr. Ernest Maddox Ministries broadcast. We are here on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., Wednesdays at 7 p.m., and Friday night at 7 p.m., sharing the Word of God with you and for you through the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look, I just simply want to say to you, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed wherever you are in this world, whether you're listening by phone or if you've gone online to share the Word of God with me and with others. You know, when you tune in like this, even though you're not speaking, you are still sharing in the Spirit. For those of you who want to have this number, just in case you want to call in and listen to the broadcast, that's 646-716-8530, and you can just call in and listen to the broadcast, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox. That's DrMaddox. You can go online and reach us at www.dremaddox.org or www.pointoflightcc.org to get all the information about our ministries. You can also call 248-423-9289. You can find out information about me and the ministries that God has called me to at LinkedIn, praise the Lord, Vimeo, GodTube, and YouTube. You will find content relative to the Word of God and how He's working in my life to share this word around the world. I just want to say God bless you to the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, elders and bishops, missionaries, and servants at every level who are doing the work of God in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I appreciate you. I love you. And I know that God has something for you on the broadcast. I'm going to be sharing with you a message that I believe is going to change your life.
Do you believe you serve a mighty God? Oh, I said, do you believe you serve a mighty, able, faithful God? He's worthy to be praised.
Let's go.
and amen. Apostle Dr. Ernest Maddox here, and if you've been with us, you've heard that God has given me a message for you this evening. Again, I'm going to encourage those of you who are online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox, DrMaddox. Give your friends a call and tell them they can listen in via phone at 646-716-8530. You know, God has given me a word for you this evening. The days of Noah, Nephilim. Now, many of you know what that means, and many of you what that means. We're going to be talking about primarily the Nephilim, N-E-P-H-I-L-I-M, as they connect to the Raphim, R-A-F-H-A-I-M. These are two names or two titles that those of us who are living on earth today need to understand. There are those who've been living down the ages in this 6,000 years of Adamic of man who've encountered these names and know who exactly or know who they are exactly. But first, I need to set the backdrop for this word that we are going to be engaged in this evening. And that word deals with the whole ideology of what Christ shared with us in Matthew 24 and it's critical that we understand it. Matthew 24, verse 36. It says, but of that day, hour, and the disciples were asking God about the return. And Christ began to give them indications. Let's go to verse 34. It says, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth, verse 35, will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Moving into verse 36. But of that day and hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Now, here's something very interesting. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, also will be the coming of the Son of Man. An indicator, a marker. Just like if you're going to Chicago, Illinois, traveling up I-94 west from Detroit, you're going to see certain signs along the way indicating that you're going to be passing through Indiana, telling you Chicago 80 miles, giving you indication. But you won't get there until you travel the 265 miles or so that is necessary. Reference, because I'm most familiar with that one. He says, I'm telling you that Chicago is this far away, depending on how fast you drive. But there'll be signs along the way. Again, for as in the days before the flood, that's verse 8, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until that day Noah entered the ark. Now, I wonder how Christ is defining marriage. I'm not going to address that at this moment, but I will in future broadcasts. But going back up to verse 37, it is very clear, but as in the days of Noah were, there was something about those days. Also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. And that's going to be our backdrop. So don't you think it's important that we at least understand where in history is the day of Noah as the day of Noah was? Shouldn't we understand what happened during that period of time so we can best identify, evaluate, understand, so we can recognize exactly what God is saying to us through Jesus Christ in referencing that period of time we call the days of Noah? Genesis, the 6th chapter, gives us a good foundational description. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God gave man 120 years from the point that he began to diagnose, analyze, and articulate the things beginning in Genesis 6:3, moving into Genesis 6:4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. So there were giants in the earth in those days. Remember Matthew, it says, as the days of Noah were, also shall the end time be. So there were giants in the earth in those days, the days of Genesis 6, the days of Noah, and also after, that means it's going to happen again, as Christ identified in Matthew 24. I mean, this is really basic. This is the word. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, here we go again. And they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Some of you know them historically as Titans. The movie Battle of the Titans loosely made reference to these events that are being described here. They were, I would call, Hollywoodized from Genesis. Hollywoodized. In verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Now, we know in 2 Corinthians 10, 1 through 4, we need to bring our thoughts into subjection of Jesus Christ. But they had no desire, the ones that God is describing in 6:5, had no desire. Now, I'm going to interject something. If you go to 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about the children of Israel and the rock they followed and the cloud that covered them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. So it is Christ that is believed to be speaking here through Moses. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created, from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I had made them. Now listen to this. Just in case you're wondering why I'm here in this particular pericope of text, Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of the flesh, or the end of all flesh, is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And he began to give Noah instructions for the ark. Now, let's go back to verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, many love to say that in that text, that talks about the sons of God is referring to some human being. But it is not. Some want to claim, or they believe, that it's in reference to the sons Adam via Seth, or the righteous sons of God through the bloodline of Seth, who replaced Abel, who Cain slew. Well, let me show you another reference where it talks about the sons of God. And everywhere you see that reference in the context of the Old Testament, in that phraseology, when you look in the Hebrew, it is not talking about human beings. It is not talking about human beings at all. If you go to Job, the first chapter, and verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Talking about angelic beings, and Satan was among them. Connoting the fact that these were spiritual beings before the throne of God. Now listen, and the Lord said in verse 7 unto Satan, where comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord, and he said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. The sons of God presented themselves, and Satan also. These were not human beings. They were supernatural beings. Supernatural beings. Now, many are having a conflict in their head right now. You know, exactly what am I trying to say? Well, I'm not trying to say anything. The Bible has already said it. In Matthew, it says, as the days of Noah, out of Christ's own mouth. And again, you can go to Matthew, the 24th chapter, that it talks about the days of Noah. Very clearly. So when we look at Genesis, and it talks about, in verse 1, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, then why doesn't it say, and the men saw that the daughters of men? It wasn't men. It was the sons of God referenced in Job, which were angels, approaching the throne of God in their spiritual bodies. And they came down and they took women and they began to have intercourse with the women, just as you've seen depicted in some movies. That aspect of it is accurate. Children were born and they became giants and mighty men. And they began to operate in intense wickedness. Intense wickedness. That's why the Lord said in verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Verse 4, and there were giants on the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God, here we go again, came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. We call them in the hot Hollywoodized gender titans. But they were, in most cases, wicked. The ones that we're talking about here were purely wicked. How do I know that? Because right after that statement, the Holy Spirit makes another statement. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of his thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. Now, these beings, Nephilim, Ruffalim, begin to create havoc, begin to wrought wickedness. And if you are familiar with the book of Enoch, it talks about 20 angels who led 200 angels down to mingle with women and create havoc. Enoch goes into this in great detail. The book of Enoch is quoted in the book of Jude. And it talks about, in the book of Jude, I mean, it is amazing what it says in the book of Jude. And in fact, why don't we go to the book of Jude? Because there's a very important statement there that we all need to take a look at and benefit from. In verse 6 of the book of Jude, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness into the judgment of the great day. Which angels were these? Which sons of God, angels, Job the first chapter, Genesis the sixth chapter, and here we are near the end of the New Testament, and Jude is talking about angels who didn't keep their first estate. Now, what was their first estate? To be watchers and to be servants of mankind, as it says in Hebrews. But they decided, a group of 20 leading a group of 200, to come down and take advantage of the women. The Holy Spirit says, even in Hebrews, you can entertain angels unaware. It didn't say if they were angels in good standing or angels who left their first estate. How can you do that unaware? Because they appear in a form that is acceptable, handsome and beautiful. And Jude understood this. Now notice, you're going to get an indication, an insight, what was going on in Genesis, part of what was going on in Genesis, Jude 1:7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh, are set forth. One example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Strange flesh. When these angels appeared in Sodom and Gomorrah, and these men wanted to have sex with them, they knew that these were angels. They didn't think that they were men. They wanted to have sex with angels, because of the perversion. Sodom and Gomorrah had quickly achieved what was achieved in Genesis, the sixth chapter. They began to have relationship with demon spirits and offsprings of the demon spirits, genetically, or should I say genetically called. In verse 9 or verse 8 of Jude, it says, likewise, Also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Satan wanted to take the body of Moses and use it. Does not bring against him a real accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." In other words, he is not bringing a false accusation. Everything that Michael dealt with Satan on was founded in truth. But these, verse 10, speak evil of things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and these things they corrupt themselves. Now, let me ask you a question. Christ said it would be as it is in the days of Noah. Now, what's happening now? What's happening with marriage? What's happening with pedophilism? What's happening with bestiality? Cannibalism? What's happening in our world right now today? And when you really study Sodom and Gomorrah, when you really study the abominations of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, beginning in verse 9, when you really study those things, you will not come up a whole lot of difference between Genesis 6, Sodom and Gomorrah, the book of Jude, and modern day society globally. And I'm going to say particularly in America, which claimed at one time to be a Christian nation. We're legalizing, and I'm going to say this, abominable behavior according to the word of God. Verse 11. In Jew, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? Murderous rebellion. When God came to Cain in Genesis, the 4th chapter, he said, "If you do well, I'll be with you." Cain refused that and went and killed his brother Abel and ran greedy after the era of Balaam. What did Balaam do? He taught Balak how to trick Israel into sinning so God could punish him, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. But we know who Korah was, as is pronounced in the Greek. He mounted a rebellion against Moses. So Jude is lumping all three of those behaviors together. They existed in Genesis 6. My God. I mean, the word of God is very clear. It's just that our religious and theological minds that have been dipped, stewed, baked, roasted, boiled, barbecued, steamed, and deep fried in religious tradition and false theology, operating from the directive of the Word of God. It is amazing that when you look at the Word of God, what we see. In verse 14 is an interesting statement here. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesies of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints." My God. Jude is quoting the book of Enoch. Book of Enoch outlines everything that happens and happened in Genesis 6 in great detail. Now, I want to spend a moment here the Enoch's name. Because I want to take you to a place. And I want to point out something to you. A master counterfeit that has occurred in the Word of God. And I go into great detail in my message called Origins and Counterfeit. You can go to GodTube and see that whole six-part audio video. Come right here on Blog Talk Radio. Go into the archives of www.blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Maddox, DrMaddox, and go to the archives and pull up Origins and Counterfeits and listen to it via internet audio. I go into great detail about what I'm about to express briefly, the message that I'm dealing with right now. We're going to go to Genesis, the fourth chapter. And I want to start here in verse 3. It says, in the process of time came the pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought up the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance failed. Well, why didn't God appreciate what Cain had did? I'm going to simply say to you is that the ground was still cursed. And one of the reasons is that Cain brought God an offering from cursed ground. Now, I'm going to move on. And the Lord said unto Cain, verse 5, why art thou wroth, or your wrath? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, should thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou but thou shalt rule over it. Well, Cain didn't do that. Cain went and talked with Abel. I say argued with him. And it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Cain is a murderer. In John 8:48, it talks about Satan being a murderer. And Christ said, Satan, you are a murderer and a liar. And he told those Pharisees and Sadducees that you are of your father, the devil, who is a murderer and a liar.